You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
This covers some 309 markets throughout the world, throughout the mainly the English-speaking world, some 8 countries. And we rate them every year, the cities within those countries, the metros of those cities, those metros at least, on housing affordability. So what actually came out of this year's one is that it has actually worsened in New Zealand. We've gone up from about 6.5 times household incomes to 7 across our 8 metros, which is extremely serious. And we're now sitting at roughly about, we're the worst in the English-speaking world, and we're the only one ahead of us is Hong Kong, which is sitting about a 20 multiple. But we shouldn't be anywhere near that. We're actually just doubled, if you like, the United States at 3.5 times incomes.
Right, yeah. You know, the survey, it also looked into this affordability from other parts of the world. So how does New Zealand fare against these countries? Was it 8 countries, you said?
That is correct, 8 in total. And also we did a supplementary with Russia as well this year, which is just most interesting as well. The people there back in the Institute for Urban Economics in Moscow did a tremendous job, and we added that in as a supplement, just so people can get a sort of a bit of an introduction, if you like, to what's going on in Russia.
Ah, I see.
So that's all in there as well. And the introduction focused very much on Singapore, which has been a huge success, of course, in a very short span of 60 years, where people were living in slums some 60 years ago, but now it's rated as one of the most wealthy countries in the world. You know, it's been a remarkable success story, Singapore, and
yes,
the housing as well.
Yes.
So, just going through the 8 countries that we surveyed, but for example, across the board, Australia now is about 6, roughly 5.9 to 6.
Right.
Canada is sitting at about 3.9. And then we've got China, Hong Kong, which is sitting way up the top at 20. It's right out of control. And then below that we have Ireland, which is sitting about 4.1. New Zealand at a terrible 7 times incomes. And below, and Singapore is sitting at 4.6, which is remarkable for such a small country. And the United Kingdom is sitting at 4.5. And Canada and the United States is sitting at 3.6.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
New Zealand basically at 7 is virtually double the US.
It's a bit ridiculous, you know. I mean, it's crazy for such a small country as well to have such an unaffordability of its housing. I guess
it's actually hugely embarrassing because we're roughly about the same size as the United Kingdom in land area. Okay, and they have a population of about 65 million. And we have a population here who whisker under 5 million, and just 0.7% of New Zealand is urbanised, and we have all this land available just to expand, and we're in this sort of ridiculous position. It's in the absurd category, frankly.
I guess what I want to ask now is, you've made a few comments about the report and also what you believe are some of the most contributing factors, and one of these is the inflating land prices. What leads to inflating land prices?
The primary reason, how did this all really came about? There's quite a historical thing to it. The worst thing that happened in this country was in the late 80s, when we had the forced amalgamation of the councils. And there are two types of councils in this world, the small and the bad, in my view, and we see that down here in Christchurch.
Yeah.
With respect to the bureaucratically bloated Christchurch City Council, which is ungovernable and unmanageable, and everybody knows it. And the good performers, such as Selwyn to the south of Christchurch and Waimakariri to the north, and they're driving, if you like, the whole housing affordability here in Christchurch. And if we didn't have those two smaller councils with the earthquakes, we would have driven housing up to 10 times incomes here in Christchurch.
Wow.
But instead they're sitting now at 5.4, and they've been declining quietly for the last lot of years because of the amount of supply that we can get in across this greater Christchurch area. And so it's steering them right in the face about what the problems and the solutions are. But I'm very pleased to say that what we have now is three key political initiatives that are underway. And the first one is came out late October, was the Urban Development National Policy Statement, which is to do with tidying things up and getting some disciplines into the RMA. That's all to the good. And then in December, which wasn't particularly well reported, there were two key pieces of legislation which were introduced into the Parliament. The first one was the Urban Development Bill for the first reading, and secondly, the Infrastructure Funding and Financing Bill. And the speech in there by Phil Twyford, the Minister for Urban Development, was simply outstanding. And he made the point of making it very clear in that speech that he has the support of the parties right across the political spectrum, the major parties at least. And that's National, Labour, New Zealand First, and the Greens all support that legislation, and they're all working to get this debt financing of infrastructure sorted out. I commend Phil Twyford for that, and also those who are in there helping to do this. So what we need to ensure that does happen going forward is that the legislation is tidied up, the infrastructure financing is tidied up, so that we do learn from the United States, which has had 100 years' experience of this, and they have the municipal bond market over there, which is something like a $3.7 trillion market, and municipal utility districts. And we want to be learning from their experiences and bring in something here that mirrors that and is adapted to our local conditions.
You've said a lot there, and I just really want to kind of, you know, maybe even downpack that if we can. But on a more positive note, you said with the legislation that has been going through, the Urban Development National Policy, which was passed in October.
Two key pieces of legislation.
Yes, yes.
That were introduced into the House, and they're covered within the survey this year, mm-hmm. and also up on my website. And a very key question that we want to be asking ourselves, Louis, is... Mm-hmm. And it's on the front of my 209. It was also in the United States section 2 of the survey and up on my archival website in the 219, mm-hmm. 2019 section, is the National Association of Home Builders reports on the prices of lots in the state, lots or sections in the state. And the price has now moved up to $49,500 for the median price for a lot in America now.
Right.
And they're screaming blue murder, if you like. And 4 out of 5 Americans are of the view that they have a housing affordability crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're housing at 3.5 times incomes across the board. So, with ours at 7, really, we should be having just about riots in the streets, shouldn't we?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's this. You see now an emerging class of citizens who, you know, a middle class, and they're working, and they're making, you know, well over the median wage, but they can't afford a house, and that's just ridiculous, really.
The whole thing is an obscenity, and it's also too a serious breach of basic human rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have the right, or should have the right, to accessing. Affordable housing, and by denying that is actually, you know, those people who are responsible for that, it should be treated in that light, that these people need to have it pointed out to them.
Yeah,
they're actually breaching basic human rights.
You're absolutely hitting the nail right on the head with that one. Hugh, as the co-author of the Demographia, what further recommendations would you make in the long term for this in New Zealand?
Well, what we should be doing is asking the very basic question, when can we expect to see sections or lots out in the fringes of our cities at or below $50,000? And that's just cutting right to the chase. Get through all the rubbish and all the technical stuff. Leave that to others to sort of sort out. But ask that very basic question, which is what they have in America, for example, and we should also have here. So, and that's all about, if you like, buying land at rural values, not paying artificial planning values for the stuff. And secondly, properly debt financing infrastructure. And we can easily achieve that. So if you get those, focus on those two things, the land supply and the debt financing of infrastructure, the rest will all pretty much look after itself.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.